A lot to get into today and a lot of people to talk to. We were talking about that Cleveland Cavaliers trade that was made yesterday, 6 out, 4 in. That's a major roster overhaul. There were a lot of tweets sent out about this trade yesterday, as you might imagine. Every single one of those tweets paled in comparison to the tweet that our next guest sent out. He's not even a big NBA guy. But it was far and away the funniest thing I read on Twitter yesterday when Ryan Mitchell tweeted out Larry Nance for Isaiah Thomas. Well, that would have been a much bigger deal back in 1989.
Probably true.
Right?
Yes.
Very true. Mr. Mitchell, a pleasure to have you on as always, my friend. How are you?
I am well, fellas. Good to be with you. And, yeah, thinking about the Cavs and Pistons making that swap back in the late 80s or early 90s. That would have been big news, but yeah, turning over half your roster. Can you imagine a baseball team trading away 14 guys or a football team getting rid of 20-some players all in the same day?
Wild. Just wild, wild stuff. It's going to be fun for us up here to see how this all plays out, but nobody ever said this thing wouldn't be interesting. It will certainly be that, and I guess while we're on the topic of trades, my friend, any chance the Jackets will be active at all at the trading deadline?
Oh, I think the chances are very good that they will be active. Now, whether that means the deal comes to fruition or not, obviously remains to be seen. There was the issue with Jack Johnson saying that he would be amenable to a trade to try and reestablish his value as he heads into the free agent market, having nothing to do with whether or not he wanted to be in Columbus or be a part of this team, having everything to do with his financial situation, which has kind of played out in the public eye a little bit, and that's unfortunate, but that's the way it goes. But I don't think that Jarmo Kekäläinen, the general manager of the Blue Jackets, is going to make any trade to be friendly to anybody. He's going to make trades that are going to make this team better, and he's going to do so without passion and prejudice, and he is going to try and look not only at the long-term future of this team, but what they can do in this year and next year in what they think is the opening of a window to really be competitive for a Stanley Cup. So you have to look at it through that lens. If you can, and then the rumors are floating around that Jack Johnson may bring a first-round pick in return, that might be something you have to look at. But what the Jackets need is scoring, and so they're going to have to find somebody to slot into that top six forward role to consistently put points on the board. Because right now, even with Cam Atkinson appearing to be back to form after injury, they do not have a consistent offensive threat outside of Artemi Panarin.
It's been a problem for them, it seems, all year long. Earlier, they had the defense to help prevent losing games due to lack of scoring, but it seems like they're struggling here. Before we talk too much more about the games, staying with the trade deadline, of course, the New York Rangers asked Rick Nash for the list of teams that he'd be willing to waive his no-trade clause for. I don't know if they've announced what those teams are, but immediately a lot of people wanted to say, ooh, could this be another go with Rick Nash and the Columbus Blue Jackets? Have you heard anything more about that in the Columbus area, and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think he would fit some of what they're looking for. Obviously, Rick Nash's offensive prowess has diminished over the past couple of years, but he is a power forward, sort of in the mold of a Josh Anderson, but obviously with playoff experience. This is a guy with a lot of battle scars. He still can score. He's not going to put 40 in, but the Jackets don't necessarily need that. They just need some kind of consistent scoring. Obviously, he knows Columbus. It would be a welcome reunion in most people's eyes. They still boom when he gets on the ice after the incident taking a run, as some people saw it at Sergei Bobrovsky a couple of years ago. But I think they would welcome him back with open arms. Now, what are you going to have to give up to get him? That's the big question, because the scuttlebutt on the Twitterverse and other areas where they're talking about these sorts of things is, four pieces, two NHL players, a high-ranking prospect, and probably a high draft pick. That seems like an awful lot to give up for a rental, because Rick Nash is an unrestricted free agent after the season, and there's a lot of talk that he would, even if he's traded, be willing to go back to New York because he likes playing for the Rangers, likes playing in that market. So that sounds to me like an awful lot to give up for a rental player. And again, going back to Jarmo, I don't think he's going to make a deal where he gives up more than he thinks is fair market value for any kind of nostalgia or any kind of a reach. I think he's going to have to be pretty certain that this is the kind of a player, if he performs to expectations, that will get us over the hump where we need to be. So I don't know if it's actually going to happen or not, but I'm sure a lot of Jackets fans would love to see Rick Nash wearing the Union Blue again.
Sure, a few few weeks here before the trade deadline comes around. Of course, it comes at the end of February on the 26th, I believe that is. Is there still some waiting in the water? Because right now the Jackets are sluggish, to say the least, winning one of just their last six games here. Are they kind of waiting to see if they want to be buyers or sellers here at the trade deadline? Do you get that feeling?
Well, yeah, I don't think they're going to be sellers. I think in order to be a seller, you have to give up pieces that other teams want, and there are some of those on this team, but not the kinds of pieces that I think the Jackets would be willing to move, because most of the people that would be sought out are either young, controllable players, and that's not what you're giving up if you become a seller and you're looking to build for the future, or guys for whom they would have to sell low on. Ryan Murray has skated with the team. He may be close to coming back, but he's had injury problems. He has a very, very interesting piece for a lot of teams that would need help on the blue line. You look at the forwards. Boone Jenner is not having a good offensive season. You'd have to sell low on Boone unless you can get a team to buy his potential. A few years back, he was a 30-goal scorer. So I don't think you're going to see the Jackets as sellers. I think they are looking to bolster the roster, if anything. And if they start to get performances from guys like Jenner, guys like Foligno, guys like Alexander Wenberg, that get back to their career averages, boy, what an addition that would be without having to part with any prospects, any picks, any anything. If this team plays the way it did last year, this Metro Division, which all of a sudden looks very pedestrian, is going to be able to be kind of grabbed by the throat a little bit, I think.
It certainly has been interesting watching here of late. Well, what's been the response? I know you've been there to see what Coach John Tortorella has said, and after that Capitals loss where they gave up the game-winning goal in the final 42 seconds of the game, he referred to it as a gut punch. But it seems like the Jackets have been in most of these games here recently. Is there that belief that they just need one or two things to get, obviously, goal scoring, but they can get this turned around?
I think these last two games, that has been the feeling against the against Washington and against the Islanders. They felt like they played good hockey, just had bad puck luck, were not able to put in their chances. They felt like they had a lot of really good chances. That's been a change because, you know, the large portion of this downward turn, I don't think they have felt that way. And it seemed like it started to come to a head a little bit. You think back earlier in the season when the Jackets were winning games and putting points in the bank, when they did not play particularly well. Now, that's like a squirrel putting nuts away for a rainy day and through the winter. So that's what we're in right now is the scoring winter for the Jackets. But I think they're starting to see signs of what they want to see. Lines playing well together, creating scoring chances, and they're hoping that eventually those do turn into goals. Right now they have the second wild card spot in a point tie with the New York Islanders. And they got a lot of Metro action coming up the rest of this month. So a lot of four-point games, an opportunity to either sink or swim. And I guess that's what it's going to come down to. We should know a lot more about the Jackets at the end of February and how their season is going to go, because they're playing almost exclusively within the division in those four-point games. And if they can make some hay, they're going to solidify themselves. And once you get into the playoffs, you know, anything can happen. Sure. They have the best goaltender on the planet, Sergei Bobrovsky, although he has not played well in the playoffs. If that turns around, they play solid defense, maybe you only have to score three goals a night. But scoring three goals has been a big problem for them lately, but I do think they're starting to see things come around a little bit.
We're talking with Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Now that we've gotten our fill of the ice, we take our conversation to the mat, because you're a man who wears many hats. Not only do you work for the Blue Jackets, the Columbus Clippers as well, but you're also closely tied in with the high school wrestling scene as well. You're going to be very busy, my friend, on Sunday. You'll be at the Wrestling State Duels on Sunday. Should be a heck of a lot of fun. Who are some of the favorites at Sunday's duels?
Well, the interesting thing this year is that the OHSAA allowed teams in the team race, not the individual race at the end of the season, but in a team race, to move up a division if they wanted to challenge themselves. And St. Paris Graham, who is the dominant team in Ohio high school wrestling this year and has been maybe for the past couple of years, decided to move up from Division II to Division I, and it's the deepest field in D1 that we have seen. We've got three or four, depending on the service, even five nationally ranked wrestling teams in Division I who will be going at it at St. John Arena. And a lot of people are figuring that it's going to come down to Graham and St. Ed's in the finals. Elyria is going to have a lot to say about that. Cincinnati LaSalle is a very good team, and Brecksville as well. So It's going to be very, very interesting in Division One, Division Two with Graham out of there. Wauseon's a team to look out for. Akron, St. Vincent, St. Mary's is very, very solid. Menor Lake Catholic. I think Genoa is the heavy favorite in Division Three, but it's going to be a lot of fun. All three of those divisions wrestling at the same time at St. John Arena on Sunday. The event starts at 11 a.m. The finals are at 7:30. So there's a lot of good wrestling that's going to go on, and it should be a ton of fun.
Are you working the TV side of things on Sunday?
I am indeed, yeah. Spectrum is covering the finals for both the individual and the team tournament. I'll have the call for the D1 action for the finals, and they're running it on the stream at myspectrumsports.com, and they'll later put it on the channel as well. So, yeah, I've got my brackets, I got my rankings, I got my prep sheets in front of me. I'm working on those as we speak, as I'm also getting ready for the Jackets game tonight and trying to figure out who's going to be on the Clippers roster. So you're right, I got hats coming every which way but loose.
It's fascinating.
Yes. No, it really is, because those are three wildly different sports, too. That's what's fascinating about it. I mean, you're between wrestling and hockey and baseball, I'm not sure that you could pick three more polar opposites.
Well, and that's true, because obviously one is a combat sport. Hockey is constant action. So the challenge for calling play-by-play for all the three of them, and I don't call the play-by-play for hockey, but the difference in tempo and pace and the things that you have to do for all three of those things is starkly different. Baseball, I think, is the most difficult, because there's so much dead air to try and fill. But you know, when you have a lot of good information, you can bring people some interesting tidbits. But it's a lot of fun in different ways. And of course, I coach wrestling. I wrestle. It's a sport that I really, really love. And I love getting some exposure to, because I don't think it gets enough. But, yeah, there's a ton of difference between the two. But that's what makes it fun. If it was all the same, it would get pretty boring over the course of all the events that I have to do here.
Well, we know one thing. You don't lead a boring life, my friend. Wearing all those different hats, especially this time of the year, you're running from one place to the next. We know you're a busy man, so we appreciate you spending some time with us, Ryan. Always appreciate it.
All right. Anytime, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you again. Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network. Or you know what?